Gene Boldick is with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not really
a
thing?
Is it a thing? Yeah. This little virus, is that a thing?
It's kind of the one thing that people are talking about, isn't it?
It's a thing. Yeah.
So coronavirus is a thing. So let's break it down, because there are some there are some aspects of this whole conversation that are things, and there are some aspects that are not things, right?
Right. Yeah. So the virus itself is very much a thing. Is a potentially very, very threatening thing, because even though it's a virus that may have a viral season, much like the flu, much like influenza, it's more deadly than influenza. And so far, what we've heard so far is that it's deadly to a surprising set of populations. It's not the classic, always older people and very
kids,
young people,
yeah. Kids
people
are,
with compromised systems.
Kids have been mostly
kids have
fine
been
so far.
Much more affected than you know you would have thought. Just hearing something that's a respiratory virus, flu-like, but it's almost entirely respiratory. Mm-hmm. So that's concerning. You know, it's just going to be, time is going to have to pass. We're going to have to learn a lot more before we really can have any serious-minded conversations about the trajectory of the whole thing.
Right.
It absolutely is now a pandemic. It's more than 50 countries affected.
You know, I don't think you and I can say that, because we have to learn a lot more.
I think that
as,
the definition, though, is about the spread and the number of countries and just how widespread it is, not whether or not there's been enough cases and it's an outbreak.
I'll
of,
still wait for the CDC
you know, whatever,
to start using the word before I even...
Well, I mean, I've heard a couple of doctors, infectious disease experts, you know, saying there's not a lot of point about squabbling about that distinction. I saw Kathleen Sebelius last night on television, and I have to say, just because of how my mind works, that the first thing I thought when I saw her was, she must be thinking, how do you like me now? You thought healthcare.gov was a disaster? Watch this, America. Mm. I had forgotten this, but when she was sworn in, she was the last cabinet official in the brand new Obama administration in 2009 to be sworn in April. She was confirmed and sworn in. Waiting on her desk was the swine flu epidemic. And many of the concerns and processes for managing this are similar to what they were with that outbreak, which was Mexico and the U.S. and Canada. And she talked about, you know, what they did, what ought to be done, and so forth. It's very concerning to me, the management within the administration at the highest levels. They clearly just don't know what they're doing. And when you have a chief executive and the president who just won't listen to anybody about anything and can find political agendas where they don't exist, which is what this is, that's a big problem, and it's putting a lot of people at risk.
One of the most important things that we all need to keep in mind with this in particular, but really this is good advice for, and a lot of the advice that people are giving about coronavirus, it's really just good advice anytime. You don't have to panic. Wash your hands, you know, avoid, if you get sick, you know, avoid, you know, lots of contact with other people and things like that. You don't have to run out and buy a face mask. But if you get sick, maybe wear one so you're not spreading it to other people.
Right.
All that's fine. And then when it comes to learning information and passing information along to others, you don't want to be falling victim to and then sharing and spreading false news and misinformation. You want to be focusing on the
Yeah, there's a reason that we describe these things that you're talking about as going viral, because they spread easily like a virus. And
they're very hard to contain.
That is some of the best advice out there, Aaron, because, you know, you should cover your mouth when you sneeze, and you should be reluctant on that share button on your computer.
Yeah.
Unless you are very confident of the source of your information, because you don't want to be responsible for giving people bad information.
This is also, though, a reason why it is a thing that, and I've said this numerous times, and I will continue to make this argument to my dying day, anything that comes out of Trump's mouth is not a thing, right? I've said that whole bunch of occasions, because he's just saying whatever. But this is the moment when that fact becomes itself a thing, you want to be able to trust the people who are in charge to be on top of this and handling it, and you want to be able to trust that when they are going up in front of the microphones and talking, that the information that they're providing is actual information that's going to be helpful. And with this president, you can't in any case.
And he doesn't have to be in the room either, because, you know, the Trump effect is the chilling effect of on all the people around him. And now we have, you know, Pence, you know, your favorite politician and mine, who grossly mismanaged an outbreak of HIV in his own state when he was governor. And now he's the guy who is controlling what information comes out from the administration. You know, I want the docs from the CDC to go right to the microphone. Don't pass go. Go right to that microphone. I want to hear from them.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world's scientists do, too.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to see, I hope what we're going to see, is a whole bunch of doctors going to the microphone and saying, yeah, fire me if you want to, but here's what we need to be doing. And, you know, get these testing kits out. And into cities where they are first needed. They have far too few. And take care of this as a public health emergency, which it is. We have to quickly ramp up to prepare. It's not about, it's not an emergency in terms of having a lot of cases, but you have a long lead time that you need to consider in hospitals and all kinds of parts of our society being ready for whatever happens. You don't want shortages and you don't want worried well people to be grabbing up masks, for example. If you're healthy,
don't get a mask.
It's not protecting you. And the guy next to you is sick, but even if he doesn't know it yet, if you're wearing a mask, that is not protecting you. It might be depriving somebody who needs that mask of the mask, though.
And
that's really a thing. There's a lot to it.
And it's particularly a thing now, because as much, oh my God, clickbaity media coverage as there's been about coronavirus, which there's been a lot.
There has been. This
is still right now, right this second, mostly, I think, contained. It hasn't gotten to the point when it's spreading from person to person on a regular basis, and we don't know where you picked it up from or who you were in contact with. It's not spreading like that. Like, it's reasonably contained right now.
There's a case like that in California,
and that's been it. And if people in charge, if the right organizations take the right actions and take proactive steps right now and do all of the right things, it might stay that way, and that would be great. We just need to be able to trust the people in charge, and we haven't been able to do that for 3.5 years.
Carolina could go all the way this year, too. That's also possible.
That's also possible, yeah.
It's equally possible, I would say. I did pretty well in statistics at Carolina, and I'm telling you, that's about an equal possibility.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad situation, bad management. And you know, it all comes around to the same thing this week. Vote. Don't be afraid to go to the polls. I don't think people need to have that level of concern about public places that they can say, well, maybe I shouldn't vote tomorrow, today, or next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But go out and vote and be mindful. elections matter.
I don't. I'm in news journalism. I don't want to necessarily play my cards or show my hand in terms of, I did vote in the Democratic primary. I'll say that much. I chose one of the 37 people on the ballot for president. I won't say who, but I will say this. Every time I hear more about this whole thing with the coronavirus, I keep coming back to a book that I read last year, which is The Fifth Risk by Michael Lewis, who's a great writer. And this is a book about big data collection. He goes and it's in four or five parts, I can't remember. It's a short book. It's a fairly quick read. He's a great writer, so it's a fun book to read, and it's also very informative and insightful. And it's about the importance of big data collection and how it can help government officials and agencies make informed, educated, fact-based decisions that can really make a big difference, weather being one. Like, meteorologists now can predict the weather much more effectively than they could 10, 15 years ago because of all of this data collection. The problem is it's boring. The problem is it's very, very boring and dull and dry, and it doesn't make the news. So when you have a president in office who really only cares about the hot-button stuff that makes the primetime professional opinion haver shows and riles up the base, then all of this stuff gets shoved to the wayside, hence whatever two-thirds cut for the CDC's infectious disease 2 years ago because it didn't make the news. Well, now it does.
And the point position on the National Security Council. And the president who will take his Sharpie and alter scientific predictions that are extremely important.
But I think it's really, really important to have people in charge who are really into the boring stuff. They don't themselves have to be boring people, they have to understand the boring stuff is just as important, if not more than anything
else. And I'm telling
you,
I think that this administration is a nerd-free zone. I just don't think, you know, they just don't value this. And you know, Trump said in his press conference that, you know, look, I got rid of a lot of people because, you know, I don't need these people around all the time. If we need them now, we can get them, you know, like they're kumquats.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend? I don't think we've ever ended a thing, not a thing, with the phrase like their kumquats.
Like their
but
kumquats.
Sooner or later, it was going to happen.
They're a commodity.
Yeah.
Well, we have the Black Pioneers. We have a new interview with the with three more Black Pioneers. Well, two of them are returning Black Pioneers. Always a joy to talk to them. They've given us an update on the Silent Sam story and a little bit more, you know, on the personal side about them. I adore them. They could come back every other week and I would listen to them. I just always need to book more time in the studio because it's very difficult for me to say we're out of time.
Which I'm going to do right now. check it out this weekend, 9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. on Sunday, 8 p.m. on Sunday. What time does the Carolina basketball team play?
Are they still playing?
No, they play at 2 on... No, Carolina women's basketball. They play at 2 on Sunday, so no preemption.
Yeah, okay.
9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. on Sunday, 8 p.m. on Sunday. And you can get the full Weekend Water Cooler archive online at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.